Israel, lift his name high. Him alone is worthy to be praised. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. On behalf of every family represented here and on behalf of everyone here, we return as a people to say thank you. We acknowledge every blessing that you have pushed into our direction. We thank you for good health. We thank you for peace. We thank you for joy. We thank you for job. We thank you for prosperity. We thank you for every blessing, even that, Lord, that we cannot even remember. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He said, even forget not all his benefit. Lord, we have come to say thank you, not forgetting all the benefit, even those that we cannot remember right now. We still return to say thank you. Be glorified. Be magnified. Be exalted. Be lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Spirit, Holy Spirit. Thank you, our Father in heaven. We give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Let's put hands together for Jesus as we take our seats quickly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I could normally say our time is fast spent, so we try as much as possible to see what the Holy Spirit will speak to us within the context of this few minutes that we have. Hallelujah. You remember at the beginning of the year, let's go to the Word of God first. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 12 and in verse 3. Isaiah 12, 3, the Bible says, hallelujah. Are we there? I'm waiting for us. Let's start from verse 2. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. Say, and not be afraid. Say, I won't be afraid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 12, starting from verse 2. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our song. He has become our salvation. You know, it's the wish of the enemy is for us to be buried or to be in the grave. But the mercy of God kept on saving us. The hand of God kept on pulling us from the pit. Him alone is worthy to be praised in Jesus' name. He said, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, with joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we started the year by looking at the redemptive benefits one by one from the book of Revelation chapter 5 in verse 12, talking about all the redemptive benefits. And these are the things that Jesus died for to deliver unto us, to give unto us. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And we started exploring it one by one, and this 8 months, we're looking at the seventh of the redemptive blessing, and it is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, it is necessary for us to look back. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 12. Let's start from verse 11 to get the context. He said, and I beheld, say I beheld. To behead me to look. He said, he saw, the Lord opened his eyes and he said, I heard the voice of many angels run about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. So the Lamb of God, who is the Lamb of God?
Jesus
Christ. He was slain to receive for us what? Power. And again,
riches.
And again,
wisdom.
And again,
strength.
And again,
honor.
And again,
glory.
And again,
blessing.
Say blessing.
Blessing.
So, all those redemptive benefits were the things that he died for, to deliver for us. We can say that is the salvation package encapsulated. That's the content. Hello? Because if I say I give you a package, For example, if you have your abonnement for telephone, you will say, okay, in this contract, you have a telephone set that comes with it. You have a certain amount of gig or data for internet. You have a free call. Some will tell you you have a certain number, maybe of minutes free call. After that, you will pay. You see, what I'm trying to say is that every contract has its own content or what it's made up of. Hallelujah to Jesus. And therefore, the salvation package, it has all these things. It contains all these redemptive benefits. And therefore, when you look at your life, when you look at your environment, if any of this one is not manifesting, you have to do like Jabez did, like we said last Sunday, and go to God and say, Lord, this must show up in my life because you paid for it. No matter the circumstance, you know, Jabez's situation, it was not the cause of it. It was his mother who gave him that name called Sorrow because he was born in a sorrowful situation. The Bible did not give us the details of what happened to the mother. Maybe she owed somebody and they had to take all her belongings. Or maybe a close friend that passed away. We didn't know exactly what happened. But this woman, because of the circumstance, not looking at the thinking about the future of this boy, gave his name Sorrow. And every day they call him. He said, Sorrow, come. He comes. He goes to school in the class. When they are marking the register in the morning, they mention name by name. When it comes to him, the name is Sorrow. And you know, because we know that in this life, everything is governed by seed time and harvest time. So every time they call him, they are sowing the seed. They are sowing the seed of sorrow into his life. You know that everything that we see is a product of the word that we speak. Hello? So every time they called him, and as a matter of fact, that thing manifested in his life. There was nothing glorious. There was nothing to reflect the blessing, even though he was supposed to be enjoying the blessing of Abraham. And when he looked at his life, when he appraised his life, he discovered that, oh, I'm supposed to enjoy power. I'm supposed to enjoy riches. I'm supposed to enjoy blessing. I'm supposed to enjoy strength. I'm supposed to enjoy all these blessings. But I cannot see the expression of this in my life. And he said, oh God of Abraham, if you can bless me indeed. And God said, yes, it is your right. Hello? Because until you discover, you cannot recover. Discovery must precede recovery. Hello? So when you discover what belongs to you in Christ Jesus, then you can take it from the one that has stolen it, because God did not keep all these things from us. He kept it for us so that we can have it. But there is somebody that the Bible called a thief that come forth to steal, to kill, and to destroy in John 10:10. And therefore, when you discover your right, then you will go to his territory and claim your right and knock his head. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. And so we kept on looking at them one by one. And this month we're looking at the blessing. In Proverbs 10:22, the Bible said, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. And that word sorrow, like we said, is not something that happens when somebody dies or something negative, just a negative thing. That word sorrow means toiling. It means walking as an elephant and eating as a rat. And from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so that we will make money and go and spend it in the hospital. From the beginning, it was not so that we will labor and one arm robber will come and take everything away one day. From the beginning, it was not so that we will get into marriage and day by day we'll be weeping. No! From the beginning, God, the one that said, whosoever find a wife, find a good thing, and obtain favor from the Lord. And so when something is not working well, we're not supposed to be looking at it, because what you don't resist, is that the right to persist in your life? What you don't resist, you don't conquer. Hallelujah! What you don't resist, you don't conquer. So don't watch what you don't want. Because nothing happened on its own. Hallelujah. There is nothing good that happened on its own. Somebody will have to make it happen. And so, when you discover your right in Christ Jesus, it is your divine privilege, because the battle has been won on your behalf, to stand up and defend yourself in the name of the Lord and go to the territory of the devil and pluck it and say, get out of my garden. And as you are doing that, your victory will manifest for all to see in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham that make rich and added no sorrow, we find practical expression in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It will find practical expression in your family in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham, we find practical expression in your career in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said concerning Abraham, he said he was very rich. He was very rich. He wasn't going around borrowing. And say, Lord, you are my cousin. I mean, you are my nephew. You know, I raised you up. Things are very tight now. You know, what can I do? Can you help me? No. He had excess. You will not go around begging in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not lack any good thing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There was no record to show that Abraham was being carried from one physician to another. No. Everything that is trying to eat you up, the God of heaven joined that devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The God of heaven judged that devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We knew concerning Abraham that he enjoyed peace around about him. In fact, when the devil came and snatched Lot and his family and some country, Bible says Abraham, he went with strange servants in his house. He ran after them. He overtook them and he recovered all. The same God of Abraham, the same God of Abraham that said that causes everyone that hanging on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile. And because you belong to that Abraham right now, everything that the enemy has stolen from you, from your family, today is the day of recovery in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Like David, you will recover all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said you will recover all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter how long it might have been, you will recover all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so today, because of the time that is so short, let's look at the concluding aspect of it. I want us to see how to connect with Abrahamic blessing through the love of God. Say the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read from the scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John 4, 7 said, beloved, say beloved. He said, let us love one another. See, love one another. He said, for love is of God. When the Bible says it's of God, it means it is from God. He said, love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible said that love is from God. Love came from God. And anyone that displays or that operates in love, he has the knowledge of God or he knows God. Thank you, Jesus. In 1 John chapter 7, chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Anyone who does not love, who is not operating in love, no matter his title, no matter his age in the faith, no matter his connection, even if he's a professor of theology, if he's claiming that he loveth God, that he loveth not people around him, he said he's lying. He doesn't love God. Why? Because God is love. The Bible did not say God just has love. No. God is love. Hello? Have you ever considered that? God himself is love. That means his love personified. From every side of his body is love. And that will even deflate the theology that people spread around that, oh, God is so angry with me. Hello? Don't let anything ever happen that will make you to run away from God. Even when you sin, go back to God. Don't go away from God. Because you can never get better without God. Even when you sin, run to him and confess. Because it is not the time you are confessing that he knows about it anyway. Hallelujah. It is time that you get rid of it from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 10, 1 John 4, 10, he said, here is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In 1 John, the same 1 John 4 and verse 12, he said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. In verse 16, he said, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love," repeating it again. "And he that loveth and that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him." Thank you, Jesus. Now jump to verse 20. He said, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is what?
Liar.
He is what?
Liar.
He says a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" So if you don't express, you know, like in the old time where people were so religious, you know, you see people going around with their strong face. I say, "Oh, why are you not rejoicing?" Because then they believe that you have to be, you know, like a monk, serious to serve God. I say, "Oh, there's joy in my heart. I'm not just showing it. It's a lie." Hello? The truth is that if joy is truly in your heart, it will come out. I mean, have you ever received the report that you're expecting and it's according to your expectation and you keep it somewhere? No, you rejoice. It's just natural. You are playing soccer and you want to defeat the other team. And you see, first goal, second goal, third goal, fourth goal. Have you ever seen the team that is leading and they squeeze their face? No, sir. If you are truly joyful, it will come out. The same way, if the love of God is truly dwelling in you and working through you, it will be evident. Hello? So when you see somebody, you know, you write his own Kora. What is it, Kora in English? Yeah, you know, some people that transfer aggression. No, something is wrong somewhere. Because from the beginning it was not so. It was, that thing is contrary to the nature of man. You may ask him, he may say no. The truth is that when you continue digging into his heart, you will see that there is a wound somewhere that is quenching that thing. Because it is foreign to the body. It is a strengthening to the body not to be rejoicing. And that's why when people stay in that situation for long, it degenerates into sickness. Because the body was not designed to be sorrowful. The body was not designed to be going around mourning and complaining. No, more mourning and complaining. No, we are designed to be rejoicing. You know when the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And I say, rejoice always. Always means all your ways. The way to work, the way to church, the way to bank, the way to everywhere. Rejoice always. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. But you can then ask, what connection does this one have with the blessing? It has a very important connection. Remember that in Genesis chapter 1, number 26. Let me quickly open there. Genesis 1, 26. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the creation. The Bible said, "And God said," remember in 1 John that we read in verse 16 and also in verse 8, it said, "God is love." So now, when you are doing your equation, you can then substitute it. You can then say, "And love said," because God is love. "Love said, let us make man in our likeness," because God is love. Love is not just something that God has. God himself is love. So love created you. That's what I'm trying to say. If love created you, can it be the one behind your sickness? Can it be the one behind your poverty? Can it be the one behind every negative thing? No! You see, in fact, that one automatically gives you the confidence to pray when you are praying. Because the one that created you is love. And he cannot create you and put something bad there. Hallelujah. He said, "Love said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the..." Dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, love created man in his own image. We are created in the image of love, which means we are created to express that love. When you take a material from a particular, if I cut from this cotton now, if you analyze the content of the one that I cut from it and the content of the whole thing, it will, the DNA will match, isn't it? Because we are there for the same source. And so, if we are truly created in the image of God, then we are supposed to be demonstrating love. Thank you, Jesus. Love created us to express his lovely nature and to dominate the earth in love. Hello? God wanted to express his love, so he packaged man in his own image and he put him in the earth to demonstrate the love to this world, to fill the world with love, right from the top of the globe to the bottom, from the east to the west. His expectation was that we will fill it with his love. But are we successful in doing that? No. Instead, we've created many things. Robbery. Hello? Stealing. Omen of evil. We've created it. We are not dominating it in love. We're not even treating the animals well. You remember? Back at home. Because whatever you don't show love to, we run from you. Even other lizard. People don't eat lizard in Africa. But lizard is still running away from us. Because we still kill them for fun. Hello? Do you remember? If a child sees a lizard, instead of saying, oh, this is a beautiful creature of God, the first thing he will think of is, oh, I will stone him. Hallelujah. You know, we had one experience in South Africa then. A Nigerian family was visiting. And if people visit Pretoria, the first place they go to is there's a place called Church Square. And they had a lot of dough. So when people come, when you see Chinese people, you see British, American, they will come and they will put peanuts in their hand. And those pigeons will be coming and peed on them. But when we took Nigerian family there, you know what their children did? It didn't take them 1 minute before they started taking stone. I started stoning those pigeons. And I said, this is what we used to do at home. Whatever we see, we want to treat it badly. So when you sit here in the forest, you see what's called a squirrel. It will come and play with you. They won't run because they are showing love to them. But will a squirrel come near you in Nigeria? You will end up in your pot fast. He will run and say, hey, this man, no, I won't come near you. I don't go. Hallelujah. Even see, what I'm trying to say is that when we don't show that love, then the resource is what? I don't know it from us. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible said, and God blessed them. So love blessed them. And what did he do? Like we said earlier, the way he blessed them was that he didn't say, okay, come, man, kneel down. No, that would not have been possible because that man was not even a living soul that time. So you can't ask your doll or your robot to kneel down. It cannot understand. Hello, you remember that the first word that the ear that man had was the word of blessing. When God said, be fruitful, when he transferred his essence unto him and blessed him. So how did he bless him? He spoke himself into him. He released his essence into the man. And that means he released his nature into that man. So he gave man the capacity to fulfill destiny with love in love. Thank you, Jesus. So God loaded us with the ability to love. That was why he commanded us to love. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. How many more do you have? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hallelujah. Let's jump to verse 4 to save our time. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? The Lord our God is one Lord. How many Lord? One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That means spirit, soul, and body, everything around you. God will never ask us to do what he has not given us the capacity to do. He has given us the capacity to love him, spirit, soul, and body, and with everything. He said, love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all what? Your mind, all your being. He said, when we were born again, you see, somebody can say, but that is Old Testament. What of now? Things have changed. We are in contemporary age. Things are very difficult. Oh, okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. You know, when a man is born again, you remember that when the Lord blessed the man in the garden, from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, Bible said, he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And like we said, what he did was that he blessed him, he empowered him, he gave him his essence, he gave him the ability, the spirit of God went into the man and gave him that ability and made him a living soul. So he was created in the image of God and the likeness of God. Of course, when man sinned, in Genesis chapter 3, The Spirit of God departed from the man, and sorrow showed up, and he became an image. He took after his new Lord, because in the spirit realm there is no orphan. Hello? Those who are not born again, no matter how nice they are, I'm sorry to say, the truth is that God is not yet their father. The devil is their father. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says here. Hello? And because you take after the nature of where you are drinking from, it becomes natural for them to become like their father, the devil. But when man, when you are born again, you remember that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came back into the man, isn't it? He filled them up, and the Spirit of God came into the man. He therefore gave us the ability. And in Romans 5:5, he said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Remember, on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus resurrected and he paid the price and his blood cleansed us, then the ground was level for the Spirit of God to come back, just like he did in the garden. So he came back and entered into the man. But when he entered into the man, he brought back that same nature that departed when man sinned. And therefore the Bible said that the love of God was shed abroad in our heart. The word shed abroad means it was spilled. You know, if I've ever seen when the fire extinguishers, I mean when the firemen are working, when there's fire somewhere, they come out with a very big hose, isn't it? With water, flushing with a very high pressure. That was what the God did to us. The Bible said the love of God came into our heart. He spilled it into our heart with enormous force. He said it came into our heart, and that same force removed the nature of the devil and deposited the love of God back in our heart. Hello? So if you are born again, in your heart, deep down you, the love of God is there. But if you don't allow that love to come out, just like your coffee, you can put sugar in the coffee. If you don't stir it, what will happen? You drink sugarless coffee. Is that English like sugarless? I don't know. The grammarian will help me with that. But you see, you can be drinking your coffee and be squeezing your face, but there is sugar down. Hello? The same way, if you are born again, you are created, you have been recreated in the image of God, the love is there. Jesus re-emphasized this one in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22:37. They were asking Jesus about the most important law. And what did he say? Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Hello? They asked him, they say, "Master, which one is the greatest of the law?" You know, there are plenty of laws they gave them. How many laws did God give them in the garden? Before the fall, how many?
Only one.
It was when man lost the nature that they started naming all this one, 1 to 10, 1 to 10. But Jesus was telling them, say, don't struggle. Because he knew by the time they asked, you know, ask somebody to name all those things from 1 to 10. It's a problem. He can't even remember two. And Jesus said, don't even worry to remember them. It is only just two that are important. He said, all those laws can be encapsulated or can be captured into just two. And what are those two? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Quoting that Deuteronomy that we read earlier. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? So, all the laws put together, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the summary of it is, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as thyself. If you fulfill that, you will fulfill all the law. Hello? That's the truth. That is the truth. You will fulfill, he said, in Mark 12:31, he said, there is no other commandment that is greater than this. So that's, he said, that's the summary of all things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything that you have. And love your neighbor as thyself, not more than yourself. Don't lie to people that you love. I love you. I can remove my eye for you. It's a lie. Because you are not created with that capacity. Don't lie to people. Hello? Did God say love them more than yourself? Hello? Maybe you want to write your own Bible. You see, don't just say, okay, some people want to impress people. They say, no, I love you. No. Love them as thyself. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And you remember that scripture we read? That's Corinthians. He said, if you speak, in Corinthians chapter 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men, and 4 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have no charity. You see, the word charity in King James Version, when people read it these days, it doesn't really make meaning to them. Why? Because we don't use it that much. Hello? We use the word love. Love. But the word charity actually captures it more than just love. Because, you know, charity organization, they give. The word charity there, or the word love there, it came from the word agape, which means God's kind of love, the giving love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. So he's talking about that kind of love. The kind of love that gives without any string attached to it. Hello? Say, am I serving God just because of the bread and butter that I'm going to get? Or because he's God? Thank you, Jesus Christ. And as we round up, the important thing is that I want us to know is this. This is a very important link. The blessing cannot work without faith. Hello? Because it takes faith to activate the blessing. The blessing cannot work without faith. Number two, faith cannot work. Say cannot. Faith cannot work without love. Hello? So, no faith, no blessing. No love, no faith. Do you see now? So, if you want the blessing of Abraham to work in your life, then you must work in love. Because no matter what, if you don't work in love, you cannot operate by a living faith. It will be a fake faith. You remember in that Corinthians chapter 13, the verse 13 of it. Let's read it. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. Yes, 13. Hallelujah. Let me open it as well. Okay. He said, in verse 13, he said, and now abided faith, hope, charity, or love, or God's kind of love. There are these three, but the greatest of these is what? Is love. So, where if you don't operate, if you don't walk in love, your faith is dead. That's the meaning. And when there's no faith, there won't be blessing. And when there are no blessing, what is the opposite of it? Let's stand up. Use it now. So, it is so important. In fact, just if you look at this side, look at this curtain or this thing, without this hanger or without this hanger, there won't be curtain, isn't it? Hello? So, without love, there can't be faith. Because faith works or hangs. He said, Bible says, faith worketh by love. No love, no faith. No faith, no blessing. No blessing, no glory. Hello? So, if you want to enjoy blessing, walk in love. Walk in what? Walk in love. Love is the fulfillment of all the law. That's it. It's the fulfillment of all the law. Walk in love. And see, the important thing I want us to understand is that it takes a process. You have to make a choice. During the process, you will make mistakes. That's the truth. But as you are doing it, as you are believing God and trusting God for it, you make mistakes, you rise up, you continue until you see that it becomes part of you naturally. Hallelujah. It becomes a part of you naturally. See, it's like when you are operating in the spirit of faith, or as a father, you have the instinct that you're supposed to defend your child. If your child falls, do you say, he fell, what should I do? No, you pick him up. Hello? Because the instinct is inside you. It says that when your child is in danger, you bring him up. Hello? If you see the way I raked at the guy that wanted to disturb us last Sunday, you've never seen me like that. I raked them because I hated people, you know, speaking to people that have been given their responsibility to shepherd anyhow. I said, no! It doesn't go like that. Because the instinct in me will not watch it. The instinct in you will not watch you park your car and somebody just come and say and take stone. Boom! It's breaking it. And you are watching him. Ah! I don't know. Except you have another agenda. Hello? Except you want to do like people who will take back, go to an insurance company and say, ah! Everything. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see? As a man, you won't want somebody slapping your wife. And you are saying, ah! Oh, this man, I don't like him. Oh. Ah! In fact, that wife will tell you the second day that you are a man. Hello? Hello? Because in my culture, they say, if you want to know the real strength of a man, touch his wife anyhow. Hello? So, until we allow that thing to be like an instinct that naturally we respond with love, and let us practice it. How do you know that you love? Do you love God? What is the level of your love for fellowshipping with God and His Word? And one thing that is important, please don't forget this one, even if you forget every other thing I've said today. The issue of forgiveness. The issue of forgiveness. That's one of the most dangerous traps that the devil is using, especially for this last generation church, sir. Offense and unforgiveness. Because, you see, Jesus was speaking when they asked him about the sign for the end time. He said, apart from the sign of violence here and there, apart from the sign of perversion and all this that's going on, he said, it shall be a time of distress when people's hearts will fail them. So, people are going through things, and therefore, you will have every opportunity to be offended. That's the meaning. As you are driving, you see somebody who just had trouble. You just receive a bad news now, driving nonsense to you. Hello? So we have to make a choice. That even sometimes when you react the way the flesh will react, quickly recover yourself and say, no, I choose not to or be offended. Let me give you just one. Last year, I decided to wait upon the Lord and pray for certain things. And as I came back late in the night, the alarm clock that I bought, that I wanted to be using to monitor the time here, so that when I'm preaching, I won't exceed the time I've said. I found it in a disarray form. Remember, I decided to wait upon the Lord on Thursday. I came Wednesday night around 1 o'clock, found it like that. I was charged. What is this, sir? I became so angry. You know, naturally, when I walk in, I try to sneak in so that I won't disturb my people, I won't wake them up. I became so angry. Everything I was taking, hitting the plate with another, so that they would wake and ask them, what happened to my cloth? You know? And as I was doing it, something told me, we are going to pray. We are waiting upon the Lord the whole of Thursday. This one will steal your heart from me. Take authority over it instantly. And I said, I forgive the person that did this. Because instantly, you know, this thing I'm telling you, it took solid 1 hour for me to clear my mind. Because I said, we're going to have a workers' meeting on Sunday. I want to use it to monitor time. And somebody broke the thing. What I'm trying to say is that little thing, it may be your child, it may be your wife, it may be your husband, it may even be your boss. He may not even know that he has offended you. I want us to pray right now. Lord, help me. Help me from the spirit of offense. Deliver me from the spirit of offense. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord, from the activity of the spirit of offense, Lord. Let the devil not take advantage of me. Set me free. Set me free. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Set me free, Lord, from the activity of the spirit of offense. And fill me with your love. Fill me afraid with your love. Fill me afraid with your love in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I ask, O Lord, for the fresh baptism of the spirit of love in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, that I will forgive those who have sinned against me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help me, oh Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. You know, as powerful as John the Baptist was, he lost due to offense and unforgiveness. It's a dangerous sin. It's eating up many people. But as for you, you will not be trapped in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
As for you, you will not be trapped in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Even when it is difficult. Because there are times when people just appear to be what they are. And the devil has taken advantage of them. You know, when he sees that you can, I mean, you are susceptible to something, he will raise people that will tempt you in that area. That's the truth. But tell him, just like Jesus did, that no, I'm stepping on the head of that serpent in my garden, and I'm kicking that devil out of my garden. Maybe you have sent money to people to do something and they have messed it up. Forgive them. Maybe you have trusted friend, and you think that, oh, this serpent that is supposed to defend me, and he's the one that is even backbiting you. Let backbiter remain at the back. Because you are in the front, that's why they're biting you in the back. Choose not to be offended. And say, Jesus, I receive the grace to forgive this person. And confess it openly. And say, Jesus, I thank you because this woman, this man, this brother that has offended me, I have forgiven him according to the commandment. And thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And every time that thing is coming to your mind, confess it again. And say, I forgive this person in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As you go your way this week, the heaven will open upon you for favor in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.